Good morning. You can grab a seat. I got to tell you guys, I'm fired up this morning. It's been 3 weeks since I had the opportunity to preach the word of God. And I got to tell you, I got some serious pent up preaching in me this morning. So I hope you're ready. I hope you came fired up. I hope if you're sitting near the front, you got towels, because I'm not kidding. I might sweat on you a little bit this morning. All right. If you're online, you're safe. All right. That's the beauty of being online. But if you're here this morning, here's the reality and here's the truth. I get so excited when I get the opportunity to preach the word of God, because I don't think there's anything that's going to change our lives more than opening this book up and allowing the Spirit of God to just speak to us, challenge us, charge us with this mission that he's given us. And we've been in a series over the last couple of weeks that we're calling just simply Disciple. And what we've been doing is we've been talking about, what does it mean? What does it look like to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Because I think there's a lot of different thoughts out there about what that actually means and what that looks like. And so I want to begin with kind of a loaded question here this morning. And it goes like this. Are you willing to follow Jesus no matter what the cost? That's a heavy question. Are you willing to follow Jesus no matter what the cost might be? For the last couple of weeks, 4 weeks or so, we've been talking about this whole idea of, what does it really mean to follow Jesus? What do I have to give up to follow Jesus? Is he worthy of being followed at all? And we've kind of dug into this verse as our theme verse. And I want to read this to you again this morning, because I think this really sums up discipleship. You want to put a definition on it for this series. It's this: he must become greater and I must become less. He must become greater. I must become less. This is the essence of discipleship. That for those of us who call Jesus Lord and Savior, we are in a daily walk, a daily journey of making him greater in our life, putting him higher and higher on his throne, trying with everything we can to become more like him, to follow him with everything we've got. And the old me, the old you, the person that you once were before you came to Christ, is becoming less and less and less. And I got to tell you, that's not a popular concept in our culture, is it? No. We are all about, in America, in this culture, it's all about you becoming who you are supposed to be, who you want to be, the person that you, your dreams, your desires. And when we come to faith in Christ, this is what discipleship is all about. It's about us becoming less and less of that person we once were. It's about less and less about our dreams, and it's more about fulfilling the plans and the purpose and the mission of Jesus Christ for our life. And where the world and where Satan tries to get things all twisted around is this. He'll tell you, he'll tell us, that's not what you really want. No, chase after your own thing, your own dream, your own plan. Don't chase after Jesus. That's not going to bring you the contentment and the satisfaction and the joy that you are looking for. But the truth today is this. It's the only thing that is going to bring you the joy and the satisfaction and the contentment that you're looking for. And that's why we're doing this series. That's why, as a church, as a pastor, we are so passionate about this. Because we want to see people follow Jesus with everything they've got. We want to see a community of people, a family of people here, the body of Christ, who is passionately pursuing relationship with Jesus, making him the number one focus of our lives. And so over the last couple of weeks, what we've really done is we've gotten to the heart of what it means to be a disciple. And I praise God. I'm so thankful for Cam and Greg and Nick and for the messages that they brought. Can we give them a hand over the last couple of weeks for the messages that they brought? Yeah, and for giving me an opportunity. The first time in about 2 years, I've had more than a week off from preaching. And as much as I love it, man, what an awesome time of rest that has been for me. But man, did they set this up beautifully. In week one, we talked about, number one, first and foremost, is that God is the center of the story. We are not the center of the story. He is to be glorified above all else. In week two, we looked at this idea of worship. What does it mean to really, truly worship God? It's giving him our entire lives. It's not just about a song that we sing on a Sunday morning or a church service that we go to. It's a living sacrifice. All of us, every part of us, living for him and for his glory. And then last week, Nick talked about this idea of obedience. That if we're going to be disciples, we have to be obedient to what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has called us to do in this life. And so the question then becomes this week. Okay, if we understand all of that, and I encourage you, if you missed any of those first couple of messages, please go watch all three of them because they set up where we're going today and where we're going in the rest of this series. If we believe that he is to be glorified above all else, that he is to be worshiped above all else, that the response of him being number one, of him of receiving that worship is to be obedient to whatever he calls us to and asks us to do. The question today becomes this: what is he asking us to be obedient to? And so in the coming weeks here, what I want to do is I want to get super practical. If they kind of laid out the theological foundation for why we follow Jesus and what it means to be a disciple, I want to get into the practical. What are we supposed to do with that? What is Jesus actually calling us to do? And so I want to ask you another question today as we get started. Another loaded question. Do you know why you are here? I don't mean here today, Sunday morning at True North Church. I mean, do you know why you are on this planet? That's a question that I don't care whether you're a Christian or not. Everybody asks that question in one form or another, right? It's the purpose question. What is my purpose? Why am I here? It's a question that we all want answered. And today we're going to talk about that. It might be the most important message that I have ever preached. I'm going to go there and say that today. This is so unbelievably, vitally important. Understanding the purpose that God has for your life, the mission that God has for your life, it is unbelievably important. You see, you and I, we have been called to a purpose. We have been called to a mission. And that mission is this. It is very simple. In idea or ideology, it is very difficult, I think, in actual practice. You and I, you want to know what your purpose is? It is to make disciples. That's your purpose in this life. It is to honor God, to worship God, to be obedient to him first and foremost above all else by making disciples. This is how God tells us in the book of Mark, chapter 12, that the greatest commandment is to love God and love people, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. The manifestation of that, how we love people, how we fulfill the great commandment is by making disciples, by telling people about who Jesus is so that they can experience what we have experienced. If you are still alive, if you are still breathing, if you are walking around on this planet, that is your number one purpose and mission in this life. And I think something's happened, and I don't know when it happened, but somewhere along the line in our culture, in American Christianity, what's happened is that it's become the responsibility of the organization, the entity of the church, to make disciples, right? It's my job as the pastor to get up here and to tell people about Jesus and to make, guys, I got to tell you something today. And this is going to be one of those messages that if it's not convicting, man, I don't know what would be. I don't know what will be ever in the future if this doesn't convict us. It is all of our responsibility. Those of us who call ourselves disciples, if we are really disciples, it is our responsibility to make disciples. Every single one of us, each of us individually as a part of the body of Christ, as a part of the family of God. It is not just on the entity or the organization of the church. This is our mission. And I think we get confused. Again, I don't know when this happened, but somewhere along the line in American Christianity, in the American church, it's like, okay, discipleship, making disciples, it's all about fellowship, right? That's what a disciple does. A disciple comes to church and is part of the church on Sunday morning. A disciple reads their Bible. A disciple goes to small group on a weekly basis. A disciple serves in the community, right? And hear me, please hear me. Those are all vitally important things. Those are all things that we should be doing. They do not make you or I a disciple. Those are all preparation for becoming who God has called us to be, for fulfilling our purpose. Number one, above everything else, do you know what makes you a disciple? Obediently telling other people about Jesus and making other disciples. That is what makes you a disciple. All of the rest of this stuff that we do, and believe me, again, I'm not telling you, don't read your Bible, don't go to church, don't be in a small group. Please do all of those things. Those things are preparing you to fulfill the mission, the real number one purpose and mission that God has you on this planet for. And so I cannot stress that enough. We have been called to make disciples. That's who we are. That is our mission and our purpose. And so today, guys, I want to talk about what that looks like. I mean, what does that actually mean? Because I think there's a lot of questions. I think there's a lot of fear in people's lives surrounding what that actually looks like for me, right? For you as an individual. So I want to unpack this a little bit today. We left off last week. Nick set this up perfectly for me to be able to take the ball and kind of run with this and take this to the next step, right? What did he say last week? Obedience is sharing the gospel. Okay, well, what does that mean? What does it look like for each of us individually to share the gospel? Well, here's the great news. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our King, he never just leaves us hanging. He gives us all of the tools that we need to accomplish this mission. And I want to look at a very specific passage of scripture today where he does this. It's Matthew 28, starting in verse 16. If you have your Bibles today, I encourage you to open them up, whether it's on your phone, whether you brought your hard copy of your Bible, the words will be up on the screen if you don't have a Bible, but I encourage you, open God's word with us this morning. This is a verse that many of you, if you've grown up in the church, if you've been going to church for a long time, you've heard this before. You know exactly what this verse says, but I would contend that many people, they've read it, they don't really fully understand what it means for their lives. And more than anything today, that's what I want. I want you to walk away from this message going, this is serious. This is a call. This is a command that Jesus Christ has given me as his follower, as his disciple. And it's my responsibility to carry this out, no matter what the cost. Now, I'm going to be in Matthew 28, 16. Matthew has just basically given this unbelievable account of the life of Jesus, right? He's told us all about the miracles and the healings and the death on the cross and who Jesus is and how we can come to salvation. He's given us all of this amazing information. But the very last thing that he tells us is what Jesus told the disciples before he went back to heaven to be with his heavenly Father. And that should make our ears perk up. That should make us go, okay, this is serious. This is something really, really important, because if we get all of that, if we get everything that Matthew wrote and we do not understand and take to heart this final charge that Jesus gives us, none of the rest of it matters. None of the rest of this matters. If we want to glorify God with our lives, we have to understand this. If we want to be obedient to God in the most important thing that he's called us to be obedient to, we have to understand this. So let's read this together. Matthew 28, starting in verse 16. It says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So I want to break this down verse by verse. Again, many of you have probably read this before, but I don't know how many of us have really taken the time to unpack it and understand what Jesus is saying here. So first and foremost, let's start back at the beginning. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Let's stop right there. So here's the first thing that Jesus is telling us. If you want to make disciples, there is one thing, first and foremost, that you need to be. And do you know what that is? It's so simple. Available. You need to be available. You need to be willing and able. Listen to what he says. It says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. What did Jesus do? He said, I need you to go to this mountain and I need you to wait for me there. I will be there and I will be giving you some instructions. You don't know what those instructions are yet. I just need you to go. I just need you to be willing and able and available to go to the mountain to wait for me so that I can give you the instructions. Will you do that? Will you go? You see, I think one of the things that for many people in the church, many people who are Christians, maybe you've grown up in the church, the whole concept, the whole idea of sharing the gospel with somebody, teaching somebody about who Jesus is, of making disciples, is a scary thing. Well, what if I don't know what to say? What if I say the wrong thing? What if what I says actually turns them away from following Jesus? Right? I don't know enough about the Bible. I'm no Bible scholar. Do you know how many of the disciples were highly educated? Zero. Now, not including Paul. Paul was an apostle who came later, but I'm talking about the 12 disciples who followed Jesus around during his earthly ministry. The crowd of disciples that followed Jesus around as he taught. They weren't educated people. They were the peasants. They were the fishermen. They were people who had no position of high authority. And yet Jesus used them. Some of them were teenagers. They didn't have it all together. They didn't go to Bible school. They didn't even have the New Testament. Think about that. Like we have more access to God's word than they did at that point. What made them stand out above everybody else was their availability. Well, it's simply that they were available. And your greatest ability is your availability. Let me say that again. Your greatest ability, those of us who are Christians, our greatest ability is just simply our availability, our willingness to just follow Jesus wherever he calls us to go and to do whatever he asks us to do. See, I think for so many people, they think that discipleship, it starts with this like clear call to a certain person or to a certain ministry or go to this specific country and do mission work or whatever. The first step is never that specific. It's simply saying, I'm willing and I'm able and I'll go wherever you want me to go, regardless of what it costs me. I think, get up in your grill for a minute this morning. I think for myself and for most people, here's the biggest challenge with this command that Jesus has given us. I got my own life going on. I'm doing my own thing. I got my own plans. I got my own dreams. I don't want to go where you want me to go. I'm not available right now. Maybe next week. Right? How many of us kind of think that way sometimes? Right, but what Jesus is calling us to first and foremost as his disciples is just be available. Would you be available? He goes on. It says, then Jesus came to them and said, comes to the mountain now. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. I want to stop right there. Let's not blow over that. This is so important. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So first and foremost, we must be available. Second, we must submit to his authority. We have to be available to him, but we have to submit and recognize that he is the ultimate authority in our lives. There's a Greek word, exousia. This is the word that is used here for authority. It is the freedom to act and speak as one pleases. That's the literal translation of that. Jesus Christ, God our Father, has the freedom to act and speak as he chooses. He has authority over everything, over all of creation and the universe, over every single person who has ever existed, and over our lives now. He is in authority over it all. Hang on to that for a second. This is what Jesus says next. Therefore, go. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Therefore, go. That word, therefore, that is always a connecting word, right? In this case, here's what it means. Because I have all authority over all of creation and over you, because I have authority over you as my disciple, because I am your Lord and your King and your Savior, therefore, here's what I am commanding you to do. He says, go. Go where? To all the nations. To all the nations, to every single person you can find, and make disciples. Make disciples. I am sending you on a mission. This is what Jesus is saying. I'm sending you on a mission. It is the same mission that I have been on for the last several years as I've walked this earth. And now I am charging you with that same mission. Go make disciples. And so the first part of that should be obvious for us. We have to go. And I think what's, again, happened in the American church, in American Christianity, is we'll have this great service on Sunday morning. We'll have great lights and we'll have great music and we'll have okay preaching. And they'll come to us. That's never how it was supposed to work. He said, go to them. Go to them. It is our responsibility as disciples who are to be making disciples to go to the people who need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and to make disciples of them. Go, he says. Then he says, baptize them. Baptize them. Teach them about what it means to follow Jesus, to follow me, he's saying. And then baptize them. And then when they are baptized, he says, teach them, right? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. See, I think even for many Christians who understand the whole, I need to tell people about Jesus. I need to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to people so that they can hear this amazing news of salvation and his grace and his love and all of that. We do that and then it stops there. Okay, I did my job. I told him about Jesus. There's this part at the end here, though. It says, teach them. It is an ongoing process. I don't know about you. I've been a Jesus follower since pretty much as long as I can remember. I am still very much a work in progress. And anybody who knows me personally knows that. I got issues. I got things that God is working on in my life. I got things that I am learning every day as I'm digging into God's word and reading something I read 1,000 times and having it impact me in a brand new, fresh way that I never realized or understood before. The process of teaching, of me learning from God and from other believers is ongoing. When Jesus calls us to go and make disciples, it's not just tell them about Jesus. There's a second step to that. It is continue to teach them, be in relationship with them, show them what it looks like to follow Jesus. Again, there's a Greek word that's used here, matheteo. It means to follow in continual learning and obedience. This is what discipleship is. It is a continual learning. It is a continual following. And it is our responsibility to help those who we are encountering with the gospel to continue in that learning. Go and make disciples, he says. And then he closes with this, and I love this. This might be the most important thing for us to hear today of this entire thing. He says, and surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Surely I am with you always. We have to remember that we have to go, we have to make disciples, but we also need to remember that he goes with us. We do not go it alone. He is with us every step of the way. He has given us his Holy Spirit to empower us, to encourage us, to give us the words to say when we don't know what to say, which is most of the time for me. But he knows. His power is greater than mine. He gives us all of the words that we need. He will give us the opportunities to preach the word of God to people, to tell them about Jesus. He will give us the words to speak when we don't know what to speak. And we have to remember that. Because while maybe it doesn't quell all fear, it should definitely make some of that fear subside. He's the God of the universe who says that he has all authority and all power over everything in the universe. If he is on our side, what are we afraid of? And I have to remind myself of that. Because even knowing that, it's still so easy to be fearful. What are they going to think about me? Right? The culture that we're living in, it doesn't feel real nicey-nice to people who talk about God, who talk about Jesus. What if I get ostracized? If I get blackballed? What if they won't talk to me anymore? I mean, these are all real fears that I think all of us have. And yet, I cannot read that. I cannot read Matthew 28, 16 to 20, and walk away from that and go, I might have fear, but I'm not gonna do it. I'm just not. I can't. As scary as it is, and what I think has happened is that the vast majority of the church in America isn't actually doing this. I'm just going to call it how I see it today. I don't think the vast majority of the church in America is actually taking this to heart and living this out. Maybe the entity of the church kind of is. But I'm talking about the church, the body of Christ. The church is the people, right? It's not the building. It's all of us who call ourselves Jesus followers. Are we really living this out daily? And here's my conviction as your pastor, as your brother in Christ. I want to be a church like that. That's what I want. I want to be a church filled with people, with Jesus followers, with disciples who are passionate about making disciples, who are in their neighborhoods, who are in their families, who are in their jobs, and they're doing everything they can to go, to not sit back and wait for them to come to us, but to go to them. And so I told you I want to make this super practical today. All right, so we've studied this out. We understand what the Great Commission is. That's the Great Commission. The mission that Jesus Christ has given us. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. He has all authority. We got to do it. Okay, where do I start? I don't know how to do this. Well, you're in luck today. we're going to talk about that. And I want to make it as simple and practical and easy for you as possible. And so I put together a little series of graphics here. They're going to be up on the screen. And this is called Oikos. Oikos mapping. Now, Oikos is not what you might be thinking. We're not going to be talking about how to eat Greek yogurt today. Okay, that's not what this means. What this word means in the Greek is family and friends, your circle of influence, your family, if you will. And every one of us sitting here has family and friends, has people in our circle of influence. It might be right in our immediate family. It might be somebody that we are a coworker with, somebody in our neighborhood, somebody we work out with at the gym. We all have a circle of influence. But it starts with you. It starts with me. Now, I want to challenge you right now to think, begin to think of some names. Begin to think about who those people are that are in your life that do not know Christ, that do not know the gospel and the amazing life change that has happened because you know Jesus. I want you to begin to think of those people. I'm going to pop up a second graphic here. Now, first of all, I need to make sure we all know these are made up names, okay? So if you're in the audience right now, if you're out there in the congregation or watching online somewhere and you see your name up there, I'm not talking about you or any of my friends or family. These are made up names, all right? Now, I just want you to imagine with me, maybe Lizzie is somebody that, you know, I coach with. Tim's the guy I work out with at the gym. Bree's actually a friend of my wife who we've come to become friends with their family. You know, James is a guy I went to high school with. Patrick is a guy that I run with on a regular basis. Right? These are just all people in my life who I know don't know Christ. And here's what I want to ask you to begin to do. First of all, it might sound silly. It might seem elementary. I want you to actually make an Oikos map. I want you to go home today. I want you to get out a piece of paper, or if you're like tech savvy and you want to use an iPad or whatever, fine. However you want to do it. And I want you to make your Oikos map. You might have one person on there right now. That's okay. You don't have to have five. You might have 20. That's okay too. I want you to begin to make that map. And here's what I want you to do. First and foremost, first step before you do anything else, I want you to commit to praying for those people every single day. There is power in that. Jesus goes with us, he says, right? All authority in heaven has been given to him. He goes with us. We're not doing any of this without his lead. Begin to pray for these people. And then here's the next step. Then you need to begin to look for opportunities to be in relationship with them where conversation is happening in a natural, in an organic way. I am not a big believer in let's just walk up to somebody cold turkey and just tell them the gospel. I'm not saying that that can't work. It might. A much more effective method is relational evangelism. It's getting to know somebody, really understanding them, what makes them tick. Who are they? What is their background? What is their story? Right? If it's somebody that you know that you like to work out with, schedule time to work out with them on a regular basis so that you can have more conversation. Maybe it's a family that lives down the street. Invite them over for dinner. Be hospitable. Share a meal with them. Look for opportunities to share the gospel with them. Maybe it's a friend from work and you know you got to eat lunch, so you invite them out and take them out to lunch on a regular basis. Begin to build these relationships with these folks. And then here's what's going to happen. They're going to begin to open up at some point. They're going to begin to talk about their marriage struggles, their struggles with their kids, their struggles with their addictions, their whatever they're wrestling with and dealing with. And you're going to have opportunity to share the gospel with them. And as you get to know them, here's the other cool thing that happens. This is how relational connections happen. Go to the next slide, will you? James is a brother, Mike, and you're going to get to know him. And Bree's dad, Frank, and Tim's mom, Martha, and Lizzie's sister, Kate. Patrick's best friend, your other best friend from high school. You're going to get to meet more people and have more relational connections as you are intentional about building relationships with that first circle. More are going to crop up. And you're going to begin to do that with them. You're going to begin to look for opportunities to share the gospel with them as they open up and as you get to know them and as they become more comfortable and as they see that you love them and you care about them. And this isn't just something that you're trying to put another notch on a belt, but that you have a deep, deep, deep desire to see their life changed by Jesus Christ. And then, let's go to the next slide. Here's what I want you to do. When that person, however long it might take, and guys, sometimes this isn't a short game. Like, this is a long play sometimes. It's a long game. It might take 6 months, a year, 5 years. However long it takes, you do not give up on them. And when they finally come to Christ, you put a little cross on there. And then you come in here and we celebrate. We give God glory for how he changed somebody's life. You invite them then to come to church. You get them a Bible and start opening the Bible up with them and reading God's word with them. You encourage them to get baptized. You invite them into the family of God, where they then begin to walk in faith, in relationship with Jesus Christ. And then eventually, send them out to do the same thing. They create their Oikos map. They begin to reach out to their family and their friends. And as they reach people, they do the same. This is how the gospel of Jesus Christ has multiplied for 2,000 years. Because individuals in the church took the commission, the command of Jesus Christ to go and make disciples of all nations seriously. That's the only way that it happens. It's through those types of relationships. And so now you might be thinking, all right, I like this little map thing. It's cute. It's nice. But how do I still don't know how to actually share the gospel with my friends. Like, I don't know how to articulate that. How do I say that to somebody? Well, let's go to the next slide. I got one more for you here. I'm gonna teach you how to share the gospel in 2 minutes. I mean, so stinking simple. And if you need to draw these, we call these the three circles. You need to draw these three little circles on a piece of paper and keep it in your wallet or wherever just to help remind you. Do it. Do whatever it takes to remember this. But it really is, I believe, it is this simple. Circle number one, God created a perfect world, a perfect place of harmony where he was in relationship with us in perfection and we were with him and everything was beautiful and amazing and there was no pain or hurt or suffering. But can I ask you something? Do you see pain and suffering in the world? Is the world broken? There isn't a person on the planet who's going to say no. Yeah, it's broken. The world is a broken place. And it got broken, it got messed up because you and I, every single one of us is guilty of this. We ran from that perfection. That's called sin. And the world became a broken place. And we separated ourselves from his perfection and we were lost. And there is only one way that gets remade. That is through Jesus Christ, our King, our Lord, our Savior, who died for us to bridge this gap, to pay the penalty for our sin that we could not pay ourselves. And when he did that, he reconnected us back into that harmony, into that perfection with him. Now you can try every other way you want. Some people try drugs and alcohol. Some people try sex. Some people try other relationships. They try it through success in their jobs and every other way. It always comes up short. The only way is through Jesus Christ. If you want that today, man, I want to walk alongside of you and help you make that decision to begin to follow him and teach you what it looks like to be in relationship with Jesus. It really is that simple, guys. Sharing the gospel does not require an MDiv, a Master's of Divinity from some Bible school. It requires a basic understanding of our brokenness and our sin, that we need to repent of it, turn to Jesus, run to him, and he will make us whole again. He is the void that every person on this planet is chasing and trying to fill up their life with until they find him. And because I love you and I care about you, I want you to have that more than anything. That's why we share the gospel with people. Because I want them to experience what I've experienced. I want them to have a joy and a peace and a contentment that nothing else in this life can offer. And so here's my challenge to us today. A, go and make that oikos map. Start praying over those people. Start inviting them into relationship. In there's multiple ways to do that. That's the beauty of this. We're all walking and traveling in different circles. Begin to listen to their story. Hear them. Let them know that you care about them. And as they do that, open up about your own story. Share your story. So we listen to their story, we share our story, and when the opportunity arrives, the Holy Spirit will give you the right words and the opportunity, we share the gospel story. We share that with them. We share with them the most important, life-changing news that they will ever hear, whether they know it or not. And they may accept it and they may not, but here's what I want to encourage you today. They might reject it. It's not our responsibility to take care of the results. It's not. And that should take a lot of pressure off. Because for me, for a long time, I felt like, oh, if I shared the gospel and they didn't make a decision to follow Jesus, I was a failure. That is not true. Nobody brings someone to faith other than God himself. We don't do that ourselves. We don't have the power to do that. So take that pressure off of yourself. Your one responsibility, your one mission is to simply be obedient and share the gospel, to do everything you can to make disciples. We listen to their story. We share our story. We share the gospel story. And when they do finally make that commitment to say, I want to know more about this, we get a Bible. We have free Bibles here. I would love nothing more than to put a Bible in your hand so that you can put it in someone else's hands. That would be amazing. We give them a Bible. We open it up with them. We begin to read it with them. To point them to God's word so that they can learn and understand more about who God is. And then we invite them to come and experience the church. I don't know about you, but Sunday morning is one of my favorite times of the entire week because I get to be with the family of God. These like-minded people who are passionate about following Jesus together. There's nothing greater than being part of a church. And we should want people to be invited into that. And so, as we close today, here's some final challenges for each of us. Number one, guys, disciple making isn't optional. It's not optional. If we are going to call ourselves disciples of Jesus, then we have to be disciple makers. Disciples are disciple makers. Let me say it again. Disciples are disciple makers. It's not optional. If Jesus is Lord of your life, if he has saved you, if he has poured out his grace on you, if he is the ultimate authority in our lives, then we've got to do the most important thing that he challenged us and called us to do. Love people by sharing the gospel with them and making disciples. And I think for me, it took a long time to get to this place, and where I want to see others get to is that Jesus isn't something that we add to our lives. Like, I've got my life and I'm gonna have a little Jesus as a part of it, but I'm doing my own thing. Jesus is our life. He's not something we add to our life. He is our life. Building his kingdom is now our number one priority. It is not building my own kingdom. That is really convicting and really challenging and scary. But that is who and what he has called us to do. In our families, in our neighborhoods, in our jobs, where we work out, is to build his kingdom. And I don't know, maybe for you this isn't convicting, but for me it is. I do believe there is a place, and this isn't politically correct in our culture, even in the church now, it seems like sometimes, there's a place called hell. And our sin separated us and is sending us there because of our choices, because we chose to be disobedient to God and to break fellowship with him without Jesus Christ. That is where every person on this planet is headed. And I don't know about you, but that does not sit well with me. It doesn't. Because if you really believe that there is such a place called hell of eternal torment and separation from God, and you are not passionate about telling as many people, and I'm preaching to myself now, how many times I have just blown over it and said, you know what, whatever, or I'm too afraid, or there'll be a next time, there'll be another time. What if there's not another time? What if there isn't? I don't know how many days I have left on this planet, and neither do you. And you don't know how many days left your friends and your family and everybody else in your circle of influence has. And I'm not saying that. I'm not trying to load up a guilt trip on you today. Please hear me. But what I am trying to just get you to understand is there has to be a sense of urgency in us for people who are lost, for people who do not have Christ. There has to be. It's the command of our Lord and our Savior. It should break our heart that people do not have Christ. It should break our heart. This is going to require sacrifice. And this is the last thing I'll say, and we'll be done, I promise. It's going to require sacrifice. It's going to require us leveraging everything we have to fulfill this mission. We're going to talk more about that in the coming weeks. But for this week, I want to leave you. I want to leave you with an unbelievably powerful verse from Romans chapter 10, verses 13 to 15. This is the words of Paul to the church in Rome. He said, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Isn't that good news today? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, who says, "Jesus, I put my faith and my trust in you," says we'll be saved. Not because of our works or anything we do, but because of his grace and mercy. That is an amazing good news. That is the good news of the gospel. But then he says this, and boy, does this convict me. "How then can they call on the one they have not believed in?" How can they call on the one that they've never even heard of, that they don't understand the truth about? He says, "And how can they believe in the one of whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." And so here's my question. Will you go? Will you go? He's called you to be sent out and to go. Will you today? Will we as a church, as a body of believers called True North Church, will we be that kind of church? One of my favorite movie series is Mission Impossible. If you've ever seen that movie series, you know that there's always a scene in every one of those movies where Ethan Hunt, the main character, gets a little message from his boss somewhere around the world, right? And after the end of that mission that he's given, what do they say? "Your mission, should you choose to accept it." And at the end of the day, that's really what this comes down to. Because if we know that this is our mission and we're not doing it, then we're choosing not to do it. So that's my challenge to us today, church. Can you imagine a world, your world, Can you imagine your community, your neighborhood, your family? And how much different it would look if we took this seriously and began to actually convey the gospel to people on a regular basis. Be in relationship with people. Look for opportunities. Make this the number one priority of our lives. Guys, the number one priority of our lives is not to get a job, get into college, make money, get a house, get the car, save for retirement. There's nothing necessarily wrong with any of those things. But in all of those things, our mission, number one, above all, is to make disciples. That is why we are here. And I can't say it enough. My hope and prayer for us is that we would be a community who recognizes that and who lives it out. And I believe, man, the North Hills and Pittsburgh and beyond would be changed in ways we can't even imagine if each of us took that to heart. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for giving us this great mission, this great co-mission to be a part of your church and make disciples. God, there is an unbelievable amount of joy that comes when we're sharing the gospel with people, when we're making disciples. And so, God, I pray that you would just put it on our hearts. Give us a sense of urgency. Give us a desire to reach people and make that the number one priority of our lives, even just starting in our families, if we have family members, God, who don't know the Lord. Father, I thank you that you go with us. You say you go with us. You are with us every step of the way. God, I pray that we would rest in that knowledge today. Rest in knowing that we don't go at this alone, that the result isn't even up to us. It's just our responsibility to be obedient. Help us be obedient in that. God, and I pray that more people would be reached because of the faithfulness and obedience of the people of this church. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Guys.